One of the wonderful things about the great times we're all living in is how we've gotten to meet some fantastic new talents, just cherries on a cake of pure joy.
If you stare at your phone half as much as I do, you've probably seen Sarah Cooper. She's a comedian and writer who hit it big by simply lip-syncing the president's speeches.
The big question we had for her was, what's it like to rehearse these videos, having to watch the president over and over again?
It really is awful. It's really terrible. It's even worse for my husband because he has to listen to it and he has no use for it. I'm actually listening for a reason and he just gets to hear the same thing over and over and over and over again. And it's like being drilled into his brain.
And you've said that you've heard from fans of the president who like your videos?
Yes. That's the weirdest thing about this. I've only been called the C word twice.
That hardly counts in this day and age, really.
I would think I would be called that every hour or something, but it really hasn't happened that much, knock on wood, of course.
Well, I was going to congratulate you on being sort of an overnight success, but it turns out that's not true. You've been doing a lot of really cool things for a while, but you started as like a Googler. You were at Google doing Google things?
Yeah, I was a user experience designer for Google Docs.
And was that your background, computer engineering? That's what you were supposed to be doing with yourself?
No, not computer engineering, just digital design, graphic design, buttons.
You designed the buttons, the little buttons. You make the buttons. That's nice.
Yeah.
And how did you get from that to this?
Well, I started trying stand-up before I joined Google, actually, and then I went broke because that's what happens when you try stand-up comedy. You're actually paying to perform, so I wasn't making any money, and my Google job was my fallback career from my failed entertainment career. But then I kept doing stand-up and I kept writing while I was at Google. And I wrote 10 tricks to appear smart in meetings while I was at Google. And that was a viral blog post. And that's kind of what got me back out of Google, was writing about my time at Google.
Right.
And what people were doing in meetings.
If people can look it up, the title again is 10 Things You Can Do to Look Smart in Meetings, which I assume
that's not even remotely the title.
Nice try, Peter.
And you just said it 20 seconds ago.
Peter, you need to read that blog post.
What is the actual title, Sarah?
It's 10 Tricks.
10
to
Tricks.
To appear smart to in meetings.
10 Tricks to 10 Things to Do to Seem Brainy at Gatherings. I got
at
it.
Gatherings.
And I'm assuming that you sat through a lot of meetings as you were coming up with these, right?
Yeah, I sat through a lot of meetings. And 2 weeks after the article came out, I was in a meeting with a VP. And he was pacing around the room, which is one of the tricks, just to pace around the room, make it look like you're about to leave. And then he asked the presenter to go back one slide. And those
which
are
is another thing on the list, yes.
He did both of them at the same time, and then he looked over at me and he winked. And I was like, oh, that's how you become a VP at Google.
And you, on the basis of that thing, which much like your career work went hugely viral and popular in the internet, you got a book contract and you wrote 100 things you can do.
Yeah.
I gotta ask you, you're like, all right, you signed a book, you're gonna write 90 more things. Like, when did you start to panic about coming up with another one? Like 13, 14?
Actually, it was really easy. It wasn't that hard. It was actually hard to like narrow it down. And now would be a good time to plug my 2021 calendar, which is 365 tricks to appear smart in meetings. You get one every single day. So
the best thing about that is there's going to be a 2021, everybody. We're going to do it. Congratulations. I have no idea.
That's the thing that sucks is, man, meetings have changed.
Is there anything you can do to appear smart on Zoom meetings?
Yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, I think the background is important. Like, you guys have books. You got to have books back there to look smart.
Oh, yourself, oops.
Look like you're reading. I'm in bed. You have laundry, Helen.
I'm in my closet, so I have all the clothes that I own behind me. Sorry.
I'm doing it.
Peter's now on a beach.
I'm on a beach now.
That's very nice. That's very nice.
I'm going with the blank wall.
I'm dying to know, though. So you're doing these videos, you're getting calls from like producers, executives, agents, and they're saying, we see you taking that idea and doing what with it?
I want to do a show where it's a black woman who fails up, okay? Because it's all white guys failing up. It's a black woman who fails up.
Yes.
It's a black woman who just messes up, and she just, for some reason, keeps getting promoted.
Science fiction, brilliant.
It's not real. It's not real. Just like my second book, How to Be Successful Without Hurting Men's Feelings, that was also science fiction.
Because it can't be done. You just can't do it without hurting men's feelings. Well, Sarah Cooper, it is a pleasure to talk to you. But now it is time to play a game that this time we're calling...
Dubbing Trouble.
We are all amazed by how perfectly your lip syncing matches Donald Trump's voice, but it made us think of the times when that hasn't worked out so well in dubbed movies. So we're going to ask you about misadventures in dubbing. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Bill, who is Sarah Cooper playing for?
Ann Easton of Los Angeles, California.
So your first question, TV edits of popular movies have famously creative solutions for replacing swear words. Which of these was the famous catchphrase spoken by Bruce Willis in the TV edit of Die Hard 2? Was it A, yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon, B, yippee-ki-yay, mothers and truckers, or C, yippee-ki-yay, mubbita-wubbita?
I'm going to go mothers and truckers.
Mothers and truckers.
Yeah.
No, it was actually Mr. Falcon. And nobody knows why they did that. There's nobody in the movie with the name Falcon. It's just what they came up with.
Wow.
All right. Next question. Some of Marlon Brando's dialogue in The Godfather had to be dubbed over in post-production. And the question is, why? A, at this point in his career, Brando was addicted to helium and many of his lines were delivered in a very high-pitched voice. B, he kept calling Al Pacino's character Al Pacino. Or C, the stray cat that Brando was holding purred so loud during filming that it ruined several takes.
Okay, well, you know, C seems the most likely. I'm definitely A, helium? Marlon Brando? No. Mm-mm. Plus, he's a method actor, so he wouldn't have been doing helium playing that character. So I'm going to go with
maybe
the cat.
You're going to go with the cat. You're exactly right, Sarah. That's what happened. The cat that he's famously stroking in the movie was a stray cat on the set that he picked up and adopted. So we have one more chance, and if you get this right, you win. Sometimes even titles get dubbed. For example, the movie Airplane is known in Germany as which of these, translated back from the German. A, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a pilot now. B, the unbelievable journey in a wacky airplane. Or C, you are under arrest if you call me Shirley.
I'm just going to go with B.
And you are right to do so, Sarah. We remember the Germans are a very careful people. They like to describe things exactly. So yes, an unbelievable journey in a wacky airplane is an excellent description of that movie. Bill, how did Sarah Cooper do on our quiz?
Sarah Cooper's our champion. Good going,
Yay.
Sarah.
Congratulations, Sarah. Sarah Cooper is a comedian and author. Her most recent book is How to Be Successful Without Hurting Men's Feelings. And you can follow her on Instagram at Sarah CPR. Sarah Cooper, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Don't Tell
Me. Thank you.